This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Okay, a couple little things just to tidy up here, BT. The latest report from Ken Rosenthal on Kyle Tucker says that the preliminary trade talks with Tucker and the Cubs, Astros and Cubs, involve both Isak Paredes and Seiya Suzuki.
Isak Paredes. I like him. That's not going to do anything to move the needle.
Oh, really? He's a good player.
He's fine.
And Seiya Suzuki. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like the price for Tucker
Isak
might be a little.
Isak Paredes?
Yeah.
For Tucker?
Well, and Suzuki. I
mean, and how many top 10 prospects?
Yeah, I mean,
gotta be a couple.
Again, I don't know. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm reading you this.
I'm fragile here, Sal.
Yeah, come after me for the opinion. Not just that. I'm reading you news, for goodness sake. Also, John Heyman tweeting that the Mets are taking a look at Nick Pivetta. We talked about that. Maybe him being an arm that doesn't get me excited necessarily. And then Pat Ragazzo, I don't know if you trust him or not.
I don't even know if I know him. No, yeah. I mean, no disrespect. I don't know that I know him.
His name has come up a little bit.
Okay.
He works for SI now, especially with the Mets stuff.
Okay.
He mentioned earlier Mets are open to trading Starling Marte for relief help and have been talking to teams about potential deals.
No, I like that. That's actually a pretty good avenue for
them.
Yeah,
I mean, you never thought Marte was going to be a fit. You'd have taken worst case as a DH, but even then, I just feel like it's time to move on from Marte. He can't play the outfield anymore. Let him go DH or be in the outfield somewhere else. It's time for the Mets to move on. He's in the last year of his contract, and the Mets obviously need help. Look, the Mets have major holes here to fill. I mean, I love the idea of bringing Soto when we know that. That, to me, was the first piece. They needed that. Now it's like, okay, now you got the necessary piece to compete. Now what? Whether it's bringing Alonso back, bringing Manaea in, or bringing Manaea back, bringing Walker Buehler in. Sasaki, we can't even mention because everybody's going to want him. Whoever gets him, it's more of a luxury and a bonus. You just can't account for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mets have to build a rotation. They still have to build at least one more piece in that lineup as far as I'm concerned. Can't be Soto for Alonso swap. You've got to now replace or bring back Alonso. Then you're good with the lineup. And they need a bullpen. Their bullpen was atrocious last year.
Yeah. They have holes. I mean, I understand that the Met fans pumped up, and you should be, but as of now, sitting here at December 11, 1:04 in the afternoon, you don't have a first baseman. You have a second baseman that many of you don't like or no longer want. That's McNeil. Now, maybe eventually that turns into Acuna. That becomes a good thing.
Whatever. And I'm even fine with McNeil. Like, at least they have a second baseman. Going into the year with McNeil is not the worst thing, especially that he's not going to be. Remember, BT, where we were. It used to be that Nimmo, McNeil, Alonso were the guy.
True.
They're not anymore.
He was batting eighth and ninth a lot at the end of the year. No doubt, even when he sometimes didn't even play. But not optimal, not horrendous, but without a first base, basically no Pete yet and nobody else at first. McNeil, okay, got it. Lindor's a stud, third base. The Entos can hit the hell out of it. He's okay fielding, but he's going to be a really good player. I don't know who Alvarez is yet. I mean, Met fans can tell me that they know who Alvarez is yet, but they're lying to themselves. He's got some intriguing power. He's got some energy, but can he hit? I mean, can he hit regularly? Right. I don't know.
Well,
can he handle major league breaking stuff? Because last year he certainly couldn't. They made some adjustments off the home runs he hit the previous year.
I still have faith in him, but he's actually got to go out there and do it. And it's the same thing with Vientos. Like, it can't all of a sudden just be, well, Vientos is great for 1 year. All of a sudden you plug him in as a superstar. I do think he's going to be still good offensively just because it didn't seem flukish to me.
I got no worries about Vientos.
Well,
he's going to be, he's good.
Understood.
I like him.
We've seen a lot of times guys have one great year and fall off a little bit. I'm in my mind that I think a lot of Met fans are as well, penciling him in for being that top of the order bat, like the trio with Lindor, Soto, Vientos, however you want to work those three
100%.
Top of the order. But, I mean, there is a chance. Now, if you have Vientos too with Soto behind him, maybe.
And Lindor in front of him,
the
young man's cooking.
He should thrive. Is there a chance if you go Lindor, Soto, Vientos 3? Maybe Vientos isn't what he was. I don't know. The league maybe figures him out a little bit. He's got to make adjustments. Like, there's still some. I can't. He's had one good year.
There's still a little unknown. Yeah. Understood. But I think he's going to be, you know, for 8 to 10 years, a hell of a hitter for the Mets. And again, just to go around the diamond, obviously Soto's in center and in right field. You know, Siri can pick it. He's got pop. He can run, but he hits 185. And, you know, we all respect Nimmo. Nimmo's a good player, but his deficiencies are a little apparent, certainly out there, and he wasn't the hitter that he was a year ago. So the Mets need, and then the bullpen, and another starter. Mets have multiple moves to make.
Jim is calling from Greenberg, New Jersey. What's up, Jim?
Yes, how are you? First-time caller. Happy holidays to you all.
You
and
as
thanks
well.
For taking my call.
Thanks, Jim.
I wanted to just react to Mr. Francesa, and he said that we haven't won anything. I've been a Mets fan since 1962. And this owner in front of office won my, and I think every Mets fan's respect over the last couple of years. And the point I like to make is, even after, you know, Cone went out to try to build a winner and sign Scherzer and Verlander, trying to win, they corrected their moves. They rebuilt the minor leagues. They hired Mendoza from the Yankees, which was, you know, obviously a great hire. They had this great pitching lab, and now they signed Soto. And I mean, I think that's the point that I wanted to make, is the fact that as a Mets fan, it's so different now. I mean,
than it was
5-6 years ago.
Well, and, yes, Jim, but to Mike's point, they have to win.
They're on the way to winning, correct?
Yes, winning the, and thank you for the call. Winning the bar arguments are nice. Not being a little brother
well.
Anymore.
He framed that well,
it's
didn't
perfectly
he?
Said.
Yeah, he did.
For the first time, we can have a seat at the table and not feel intimidated or less than or whatever the word may be. Like, the Mets are on equal footing at the very least with the Yankees, but they have to win. It's always about winning. The Mets in their entire history have never had sustained success, ever, ever. From 1962 on, they've never had sustained success. So they've also never taken a player away from the Yankees that the Yankees had and wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So check there. But now the most important part, you have to have sustained success. You have to win. You have to win World Series. Like, they haven't won one in almost 40 years. They need to really win multiple to even be on remotely par with the Yankees in the last 30 years.
Start with one. Now, now eventually, the Soto stuff becomes more than symbolism, because we're going to see what he does as a player and the impact that he has on the Mets, and I'm sure he's going to be amazing. But to me, the Soto acquisition is more symbolism now. You know, what the Mets eventually need to do is have quantifiably better seasons and go further and have a lot more people, maybe not than the Yankees, but more people at the stadium than they historically have, outside of a couple of blips in the mid-80s and a few other times. Like, you know, listen, you want to sit with the big boys, you've earned that seat. But now the criticism is more harsh. And I'll tell you this, the little things like Mets didn't win 90 games a year ago. Like, the Mets were a good, cute story, fun, the Grimace and the OMGs and a couple of really good players and great stories. But the Yankees wouldn't be celebrated for that kind of a season.
Right.
And I don't think the Mets will any longer be celebrated by that kind of a season.
The regular season, maybe, but the postseason was incredible.
I agree. Yeah. No, I'm going to delineate between, no question. I mean, regular season stuff. Yankee fans will be saying, we won 86 to 87 games. What the hell's going on?
Right, fire everybody.
Yeah.
That'd be one of the worst years that they've had in the last 30 years for the Yankees. Chippy is in Queens. What's up, Chippy?
I want to talk to BT first.
Hey, Chip.
King Cone deliver.
Oh. Yes, Chippy. King Cone is delivered. Talk to him.
Yes, sir. Oh, I can't keep my face and explain to him that one Soto has signed the Yankees. One Soto is looking for the most money. He said no. Like, him and George's friend and the Yankees, nice, blah, blah, blah. My word come to pass. Keep going. Okay, Sal.
Yes.
You want to hook up now? You want to get the other two guy, overnight guy, and you want to meet up at the ballpark, sir. So you're going to make arrangement, because I don't have those guys' number.
Well, I don't have their number either. Just call 888-808-1019 and you can get on with the overnight with C-Mac.
No. I'm talking about the guy in the run, Kankama.
Oh, Eric and Ronkonkoma, yeah. Well, they'll hear you if you just... Hector and Washington, IG, go ahead.
Yeah. One hook up together, man. We are Mets fans. Everything is on me, bro.
There you go, Chippy. And thank you
Chippy's
for the call.
Chippy's happy. Chippy's Chippy.
Yeah, there you go. Chippy
Chipper
is,
and Chippy.
Yeah, he's
a little combative and a little happy. You know, get Chippy.
I texted, speaking of which, I texted Chipper Jones last night.
Oh, Chip.
He didn't get back to me. I mean, who knows what he's doing.
A relationship with him?
I mean, I've texted him. I've had him on before. But he probably doesn't, you know, he doesn't remember me or anything like that. But I did let him know who I was, and I just wanted to ask him about Freed. I want to find out.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah, if
that would have been good.
Specifically, the question was, like, how do you think Freed will handle New York? As a player who obviously thrived when he's here, Chipper Jones, he didn't play here, but he knows everything that New York has to offer.
He was a pure baseball player.
He's a stud.
I love watching him play.
And we should just get him on at some point soon anyway. Have we had him on, you and I, together?
I've had him on a few times. I don't think you and I have had him.
Okay, we haven't had him, but just...
Matter of fact, so remember when Steve and I had that show, quite frankly, when we first did it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the second or third show, it was either Iverson or Shaq that was supposed to go on with Chipper Jones.
Yeah.
One of those, whomever it was, Shaq or AI, had a bail. He's like, I need you, brother. Come on in. Come go get your best suit, man. I got you. I'm like, yeah, right. And I can't wait. So I went on, and I was the dealer's guest, but Chipper was there. Yeah. So I was sitting in makeup with Chipper for about an hour or so.
He's
just talking shop. Yeah. He had a big fat dip in. Like, Chipper is the man.
He's the man. So anyway, I was curious to see what he thought about Max Fried. Who the hell knows if he even knows, but I'm sure he would have responded with that if he didn't know. Anyway, Gurmeet is calling from Hoboken. Gurmeet?
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. I thoroughly enjoy your show and WFN lineup in the morning as well.
Thank you. We appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Buddy.
Thank you.
So there's a lot of talk of the Soto contract and $760 million versus $765 million.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to just bring a very different perspective to you guys and to all the listeners. So my point is $760 million for Steve Cohen versus $760 million for Yankees is very different. Knowing Steve coming from the investment background and, you know, he can sort of like generate the much, much higher rate of returns than what generally you and me or the public would get. I don't know, you know, what kind of Yankees relations they are. But take an example, right? Just a simple example.
Yeah.
If let's say you take a mortgage of $1 million
okay.
for 15 years,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
And you got the mortgage for 5%.
Okay.
Over the period of 15 years, you are actually going to pay total of, let's just assume, $2 million.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
To pay $2 million over 15 years, you just took a loan of $1 million only, right?
Okay.
But yeah. If you had taken the loan of, say, 500K, and you were paying an interest of 10%, then over 15 years, you would still pay $2
million. Hey, Gurmeet, I got news for you. If Sal, not me too, but if Sal didn't know about that play that Susan told, I'm sure as hell they following these numbers that you're dropping now,
Gurmeet, well, come on, we're sports fans.
There's a lot of math, but all I'm saying is, like, to pay $760 million,
yes.
Maybe Cohen has to borrow or put aside only $200 million. Versus for Yankees, to pay $760 million, they may have had to put aside $400 million.
I agree with your concept. I think that's very astute.
And
thanks for that. And certainly appreciate a different angle there. But not only, and you're right, just based on the numbers, and the, I don't know if you're 100% right, but obviously you know what you're talking about, and I invest too, so I know that you're in the neighborhood. But like when you look at the 765 versus the 760. And I said this the next day. Like, no, it's not $5 million. Number one, forget about the investment percent or projections or returns when you reinvest the money. The difference is that Juan Soto, to get that 760 from the Yankees, would have literally had to work an extra year.
Right.
How is that appealing?
Right. It's not. Same way where Max Fried, now he wanted the extra year because the Yankees had to go to that extent to be in the ballpark, right? 7 years, whatever. But the Yankees, Free was probably going to get 7 years from somebody else was the point.
There was a thought the Red Sox might
correct.
Be that
team. So for the Yankees to get Free to make it more doable for them, they had to extend the 8th year, which does them a favor because they get Freed working the extra year for less per year. That's why, and I know Mike was going nuts about this, the 8 years. Like, yeah, nobody thinks it's going to be a good contract in 5 through 8, you know, years 5 through 8. But for the Yankees, they were paying the same amount to get him anyway over 7. Let's say the Red Sox offer was 7 years for Fried. It was probably around the same amount, 218. So the Yankees say, okay, fine, we'll get you the 218, but it's got to be over 8 years.
Yep.
And then it brings the AAV down. You see what I'm saying?
I know exactly. Yeah. Now, we talked about that in conversations or applied it to different people.
He's working a year more.
Correct.
And making the same amount of money. So that favors the organization.
Well, it does in this regard, too. So I got to look at it like this. And I'm not going to just rip through too many numbers because nobody wants to hear it. But just understand, we always understand.
Oh, Gamete did a good job of doing that with the numbers.
Did he?
Yeah.
he's trying. Like, we know the names, right? But Stanton is gone by 28. And there could be sooner, and I know the Marlins, but I'm just going to dumb this down.
He's still got 25, 26, 23.
He's got 32, more? 29, 25, but the Marlins offset. Like, okay, I don't want to get, I just want to move it, but he's gone by 28. Gerrit Cole is gone after 28. Rodon is gone after 28. DJ's gone after 26. Stroman, I've got to double check this. I know he's 18 and a half after this year, and unless he invests, then it's done, or vests, pardon me. But I believe that he could vest and maybe kick it a third year to be back. So, but in all probability, gone. Grisham, it's only $5 million.
Judge has seven more years after
this? Yeah, I'm not even going to count Judge because Judge has a ton of money. But Grisham's gone $5 million after this year. When you look, and I think they're going to trade either Nestor or Stroman. And, and I told you, Stroman's finances, Nestor's about $3.5, $4 million. So the real thing that impacts the Yankees, two things. Number one, the ARB and the pre-ARB guys, and we know all the names, not going to run through them, you know who they are. The pre-ARB and the ARB guys were making peanuts. $700,000, $900,000. By the time they're ready to get paid, if the Yankees deem them worthy to pay, like Wells, et cetera, and Volpe, well, then all the other names I just mentioned, Stanton, Cole, Rodon, DJ, Stroman, they won't be gone.
Right.
And at that point, yes, Max Fried's contract will be a bad one, but every team that spends a ton of money is going to have a couple of bad contracts. Now, the Yankees aren't able to overspend the Mets because or outspend them. They don't have that Mets money. But the Yankees will always absorb multiple bad contracts because they always have.
And by the way, $27 million a year, especially projecting, 5 years down the road for a potential viable, he may not be as good as he is now, Max Fried, but it's still not going to, I don't think it's going to be awful. Like, if it's a, Rodon is an awful contract because Rodon was bad year one.
But he was good in year two. It wasn't great. He was good. Yeah,
so,
he was good. He won 14 games, struck out 200 guys. His ERA was just below 4.
He was bad in every big spot they needed him in.
But he got crushed. I get it. But I'm saying big picture.
And if Rodon did what Rodon was supposed to do, they wouldn't have gotten Max Fried. There would be no need for him. They needed number two. Rodon was supposed
to be that. Unless they don't
trust Cole's health. Point is, that's a bad contract because he wasn't. If you're not good in year one, that's it. Disaster. Those contracts don't age.
Carlos Beltran was a good in year one for the Mets. He had 16 home runs.
I'm talking about
just pitching.
Pitching. You need those guys.
A little different.
For the Yankees to spend on Rodon, 160, and now commit to Fried. Anyway, I don't think Fried's contract's going to age as poorly as everybody else thinks. And to your point, like, $27 million 5-6 years down the road for a guy who should be at least serviceable. At least take it as a start.
Exactly.
You deal with it as a back-end guy. Hoff was saying something interesting about the Stroman stuff.
We talked
about this.
Yeah, he's just spending the years. Yeah, so it could vest, as I thought. I didn't know the exact number. The barrier would be if he exceeds 140 innings this year, then it automatically kicks in the third year.
For
so,
what, 18?
I would imagine it's about the same. 18.5 is this year, so it's probably the same thing. Either way, as long as he gets 139 or gets dealt, 18. I don't care. I don't want a back end to this year.
Yeah,
they're not going to let him get over 140, period.
Right, two options with that. Either move him now, or you don't let him pitch more than 140 innings.
That's it.
Yeah, I know. But I didn't like that deal last year. And now, again, Stroman, like year one, he couldn't even pitch in a postseason. He's okay to eat some innings in the regular
season.
And
that's all he is at this point.
Yeah, BT and Sal on the fan will come back. More of your calls on the other side. Hey, tune in Friday and get ready for your chance to pack your clubs for the ultimate golf getaway in Florida. You could win a 3-night stay at Hammock Beach Golf Resort and Spa in Palm Coast. Flights, rental car, and, this is awesome, BT, 2 rounds on the world-renowned ocean course designed by Jack Nicklaus himself. So tune in Friday.
Bring a lot of balls.
For your chance to win. This Odyssey Sport, you're going to lose a lot out there?
I mean, I'd probably lose a couple sleeves if I'm playing that kind of a course. It's sick.
All right, so we'll come back and have some more of your calls. 888-808-1019. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan. 888-808-1019. BT, before we get back to the calls here, this is great. The winter meeting. There's a lot of action, a lot of rumors, a lot of reporting. Brian Cashman was on with MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM. You got to hear this soundbite talking about the details of what went down with the end of the Soto negotiations.
This was a unique negotiation. There was, just hints of you got to get higher. You're in a good place. Like many times, this is where he wants to be. He doesn't want to be anywhere else. He loves it here. But you're flying blind. You don't know what the others, in this marketplace, you're not allowed to, and you don't know what their offers are. So ultimately, it was about, like, if I remember right, it was around three rounds of bidding. Get your last offer in, then they're going to deliberate, and it's going to go quiet as they deliberate. And so that happened, and it was about a week before he made his decision. And we're just waiting. Right. And then ultimately, and I think it was reported somewhere that we had a chance to match. That never happened. That wasn't true. It was like, you know, everybody's on equal footing, and he's just going to decide what he wants to do. And I think that last week when you're flying in the wait-and-see mode, you know, I think there was a period that it felt like we had been in the strong position every step of the way and led to believe we were in the pole position every step of the way. Then all of a sudden you started hearing stuff about the Red Sox. Again, you don't know what to believe.
Right.
And then in the end, boom, the Mets, who were allegedly on the outside looking in. And so I don't, you know, again, I think
you don't know all the details.
Really does. And even when the details come out, I don't even know what to believe out of it.
Interesting. I found that fascinating. Right. So now, to me, what I take away from that is I think the Yankees got played to a certain extent from Boris, where Cashman just said flat out, we were led to believe we were in the driver's seat in a better position. Also, they didn't have a chance. Like, they had a chance to up their offer, I guess, but maybe it was round of best of finals. It wasn't best in final. It wasn't, hey, here where the Mets are at. We really want to be there. Can you come up to this? Like, I feel like, and I'm not trying to minimize the Yankees by saying they got played, but I do feel like to a certain extent, the way Boris and Soto handled this, Cashman and the Yankees were led to believe they were in a good spot, and it turns out next thing you know, he's with the Mets.
I don't feel that they got played. I thought both New York teams got played a year ago with Yamamoto. Both you and I said that. I think this is more, I can't prove this, but the Mets just started sprinkling in some more stuff as it got a little deeper, whether it was the suite, whether it was whatever, whether it was a more personalization, whatever, you know, kind of sat better with Juan Soto. I don't think the Yankees got played. I don't.
Well, I don't mean played like they're punks you got played, meaning if you're led to believe, that's what I'm saying, like I'm not trying to demean the Yankees with this, but if you're led to believe you're in the driver's seat when you're actually not.
Well, they could have been at the time, and then, as I said, the Mets sweetened the pot. Oh, here's the sweet, right, here's
But then why wouldn't, like if he wanted to go back to the Yankees and they really were in a great spot and he didn't want to leave. Cashman just said, but he was being told like he wants to be here, this is where he wants to go, he doesn't want to go anywhere else. Why wouldn't then Boris or Soto, if they really did, either do what Judge did and just directly handle it, like Soto go to Cashman or Howell and be like, okay, this is what I want because I want to be here. Or have Boris go to them and say, this is where the Mets are at. Like, there's no law against saying where the Mets or Red Sox or Blue Jays or wherever, where they're at.
Yep.
Can you get to this because we really want to be there? They didn't.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I also, even though I appreciate Brian Cashman's, you know, candid, transparent description, I think that that's very interesting to hear from a Yankee perspective, from a Met perspective, just from a business orientation perspective. That was real. I thought that was a very, very good soundbite.
Right, no reporting or whatever. That's from the horse's mouth.
He's
right
telling
there.
You, but it's also his interpretation. So just because, and I'm not taking a shot at Brian, but this is what he thought, but just because Brian thought that the Yankees were in good stead doesn't mean that the Yankees were in good stead.
Right.
That was his impression.
Right, maybe he felt that way, but okay, all right. Let's get back to the phones. Larry's in Corum. What's up, Larry?
Sal.
Larry.
I can't believe we signed that guy away from the Yankees. And we got Soto. How great is that?
Loaisiga? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I got it.
What do you mean? That joke went right over my head. I have no idea.
It wasn't very funny, but it
who are you talking about? Who else did the Mets get? What are you talking about?
Loaisiga.
Well, where'd you see that they got Loaisiga?
I saw it online. Am I mistaken?
I don't believe that they got Loaisiga yet. No.
It was moving there.
They have not. One of those fake
yeah, it was a fake one. Right. I know. I read the fake one before.
My bad.
Yeah, it's okay.
All kidding aside. You
Clay
know,
Holmes,
all
right. They did get Clay Holmes, so maybe your joke could have worked in that regard. Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
All right. I'll call back. All kidding aside.
Please don't. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, all along I thought that the Mets gave him, you know, with their core team, their age, and their minor leagues, they gave him the best chance for long-term success. And, you know, I didn't think money would have an issue. But the last week or so, I was nervous that he wasn't going to sign with the Mets. But, you know, I was wrong, and I'm very happy. That's all, man.
Enjoy it,
Larry. You should be. You really should be.
Well, I'm sorry, Larry, to cut you off there. Yeah, I mean, you got to be excited if you're a Mets fan. I will say, BT, the excitement, now it'll build back up again Is he being announced tomorrow officially? Do we know that? The Mets are going to have a press conference at some point, either tomorrow or Friday. I don't know if it's not official yet. So I saw the report. Nightingale had a report saying it was going to be 3 p.m. tomorrow. Who knows? But when you see Juan Soto put the Met jersey on and the Met hat and talk to the media, that's going to be exciting. You'll be excited for the anticipation of spring training. Then you watch him and then season, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be lying to you if I said, BT, that initially, like, it was great and fun and it was a relief to a certain extent getting him. They've got a freaking team to build here.
Yeah.
And that's what's exciting from the Yankee perspective. Okay, well, the first piece is in place with Fried. Now what? Now you're excited about Tucker or Bellinger or Walker.
Although, I'm a little worried about the Nationals here at Walker, well, but keep going.
I guess my point is that excitement that the Met fans had and still have with Soto can dissipate quickly if it's not followed up with moves that are building the ball club. Like, it can't just be Soto. I don't think it will be,
mm-hmm.
but what are the other pieces going to be? If let's say Alonso gets a ridiculous offer somewhere else, okay, now what? Now what happens with the lineup? The Yankees, same thing. The excitement about Kyle Tucker, I think that's the first time the Yankee fan really has gotten excited, since losing Soto. I know it's only been a couple of days, but maybe you didn't even think that Tucker was a possibility. You saw the rumors being floated out there. But would you get excited about that? Okay, well, what if he goes elsewhere? What if Mike, what we had Frances on, in case you missed it, check the Free Odyssey app. What if he's right, saying that there's no way the Astros would trade with the Yankees, and you don't get Tucker? Now, all of a sudden, what? You know?
Well, you know, what is what we've said for a while now. The plan B, and there's a couple of different levels to it. You know, maybe you make a stronger move for Crochet. And just go a little stronger on the pitching and maybe roll the dice at a few of these positions. You know, what I find interesting, though, again, pertaining to the Mets here, because you're right. I mean, that. First of all, when he stands up there, you can't minimize this. When he stands up there and holds up that Mets hat and buttons up that Mets jersey, like we've seen A-Rod button up and Giambi button up and Beltran button up and Johan Santana button up, like that is going to be a very poignant New York sports moment. It's massive for the Mets. What I do think, though, just to give you a little bit more like a different wrinkle, so I do think the Yankees really want Christian Walker. Getting a little worried that he might mess around and maybe go to the Nationals. I'm hearing he's got some family there, and he played for the Orioles for a little bit, so he knows the DMV area. The point being, I think
if he goes, the Yankees lose him to the Nationals.
Well, they won't lose him over money. I mean, if he prefers to, what could you do if he's got family there? Well, I don't know if it's going to happen.
I would not, even if I'm the Yankees, who I know need him, I would not go to the fourth year.
No, I'm not going nuts for Walker. I just get Bellinger, put him at first, and do something else. I get Profar for a year, whatever. Obviously, Dominguez, Judge, and Wright. There's ways to spin it back. But like what I do find interesting pertaining to Pete, if the Yankees get Walker and the Nationals, who are clearly in the first base market, they're going to be motivated to go and do something if they miss on Walker. I think their target might be Pete.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. As long as the Mets have... See, here's the problem. If you don't execute plan A, then plan B becomes, like, necessary because the insurance for plan B is less. Plan C, nobody wants.
Mm.
The Mets executed plan A.
Yeah.
So will plan B, meaning bring Alonso and Manaea back, if that works, it's great. Now you got plan A in place, plan B, you get those guys short up. If they miss out on Manaea and Alonso, there's still a way to recover. But if they don't, now you're talking about plan C and D. Same thing with the Yankees. Okay, well, they missed out on plan A. Now they need plan B to go into full force with Fried, with Tucker, with Walker. They miss out on either of those guys. Now you're looking at plan C, and it starts to become less appealing.
It's a little diluted at that point. Real fast, did you hear, because Nightingale, I guess, had the news of the possible 3 p.m. press conference tomorrow for the Mets there with Soto. Apparently, they were in on Max Fried.
Who?
The A's.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
What the hell's going on there? The A's?
The A's were the other team that had the big offer.
Like 7 years big?
I mean, I guess.
$200 million
whatever
big?
Nightingale had that report.
That's insane.
The A's, all of a sudden, they move out of Oakland and are starting to decide to spend now? That would be something.
Oh, man.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Steve is in East Meadow. What's up, Steve?
I called a few months ago and I talked about the Mets and Yankees constant double standard that I've talked about. When the Mets were going after Soto, it was like, oh, he's not the best outfielder. Now we have Kyle Tucker, being talked about getting traded to the Yankees. Now we want to give up the Martian for a one-year rental with no guarantee we're going to sign somebody else. If the roles were reversed and the Yankees landed Soto, he'd be the best right fielder available.
That's not true, Steve. I mean, really, I've said all year he's an awful outfielder, and he is.
I'm not specifically saying you, PT.
I don't take it personally.
You sounded like you were.
Guy. Well... Sometimes, BT.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Pull it out of him, Sal.
Come on. It's all right.
Let it loose, Stevie. Go ahead, buddy. A cathartic moment. Go ahead. I'll listen to you, Steve. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, BT, for the most part, you're good. But once today you got me, and I'm like, what is he talking about? I had to talk about the standard again. It's ridiculous.
Last one for me, Mike, and we really do appreciate the time. It's a blast having you back on the fan. Really appreciate it.
Yep.
We just did this before you came on. WFAN Mount Rushmore. Give me your top four.
Come on, how can you ask me that?
You got to do it, Mike. Come on, Mike.
Who better to ask than you? I mean, go ahead, yeah.
Okay. All right. One big rock, me. That's it, you know?
Yes!
That's all.
Yes,
come on, Mike.
That was the perfect answer. I mean, that was great. Mike is the king. In case you missed it, check out on the free Odyssey app. What a blast.
It's great.
Really, like, for us, it's a thrill. But for the fan listener, I know Mike still does the podcast.
Yep.
Come on. We need Mike on the fan. So it was an honor that he would decide to come on with us.
Awesome.
But I love the fact that the WFAN listener got a chance to hear from the greatest to ever do it here on the fan, or at least one of the greatest to ever do it on the fan. Let's finish up on the phones. Actually,
hold on.
Yeah, speaking of when Mike was here. Now, I don't know if you remember this, BT, but I used to dress up the studio sometimes because I was behind the scenes working the board.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Mike was on Yes at the time.
Yep.
And they would come in and build the Christmas set. And he used to have, it was this very studio, the Mike Francesa Studios. He was here, and they would build this very set out with beautiful Christmas decorations and a train that would actually move and go in a circular, whatever. It was a nice little thing. And Evan Roberts has taken over the reins here, trying to build the train and the Christmas decorations in the studio now. And
It looks horrible.
No.
It looks horrible.
A for effort, though, no?
Yes. And I do applaud Evan for doing this, because if Evan didn't try, nobody would do it. They obviously don't do this for us anymore. They just stopped with Mike. I remember seeing this on the Yes Network, and yeah, it looked pretty good. I mean, a little cheesy, but it was at least well designed. It was
the train moved. It was a nice little train going around the tracks.
A little cheesy, but that's just I always thought a little
poinsettias.
I get it, but it was at least like symmetrical and it operated. Like
looked good. Yeah.
It looked good. Evan Drew, he comes in, he's got like a big ball of cotton, again, to replicate snow, appreciate the effort. Then it looks like a post-war city, is what it looks like. There are little
like
tiny...
Like Gotham City after...
Or the Penguin.
As I'm saying,
a little bit. I mean, there's just, first of all, there's like a wooden plank, and so the train can't go anywhere. You know, I can't even knock Ev because he tried more than anybody else.
Yes,
but
A for effort.
It is a sad depiction of what the train scene used to be here.
We do need to, Evan though is on to something here. Like, I know that this is not, and they're on TV for a couple hours, obviously, when they're on TV, whatever. We got to clean this studio up.
It's a disaster.
It's a mess. There's crap that's sitting in here for months. There's like a
He's got stupid clippers from when he wasn't shaving his beard. Trying to get Alonzo out of his slump.
It's got to get out of here. There's a picture of Mike Piazza sitting on the desk in the corner. Like, come on, what are we doing
it's
here?
Awful.
Tried to bring in some bobbleheads or some figures to at least clean up a little bit. They get broken. Yeah, I got my standings board over there, but it just looks.
Well, I got my helmet, FAN helmet with the American flag popping out, which is in every social media clip. Other than that, I haven't brought a whole lot. I mean, Evan's got three books over here.
We got to clean this up.
Here's the bottom line. Most of it's Evan's, and Evan is a man boy. That's what it comes down to. Well, He's a man boy.
I mean, we're kind of man boys, too.
You are different than he is.
Well, I mean, I'm a man's man boy. Are you saying I'm a more manly man boy?
I mean,
look at our office. There's posters from the 80s all over the place. There's a poppin' shop back there. Like, I like to be baseball cards. I want to be a kid. We're talking sports. I don't want to worry about drones and politics. I want to worry about baseball stuff and fun stuff and sports stuff.
If those drones don't disappear, I'm not a big gun guy. I'm going to find a bazooka. I'm going to start knocking them out of the sky.
Dude, I'm not into it. I have not seen one. Have you seen it?
My wife's seen a bunch. Yeah.
Okay, so I hear Al talking about it or whatever.
I know. Al's really concerned.
Yeah, today I woke up to a text that somebody sent me saying that a truck-size drone is down in the area that I live in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? A, way. What is a truck-sized drone? Like an actual truck?
Yeah. I mean, they are...
That's big? That's how big a drone? That's not a truck. That's a ship.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of this. Really, the way I am with anything, I really don't pay attention. I mean, I'm aware of everything, but I don't really get emotionally invested. Yeah. Like, I don't live through fear. I don't. But, you know, now, and my wife, for the last week, my wife's been saying, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's probably the government or whatever. I just didn't really. Right. I remember seeing Craig with a post about 2 weeks ago, because she lives by us, not too far out in New Jersey. I'm like, what is this? And I just didn't really think much about it. Now it's got to end. I mean, the government, who hasn't said a word, like the local government has chimed in a little bit, but government needs to let us know what the hell this is, these things are.
Right, the only thing that I read about it was that they didn't know what they were, and that the governor of New Jersey, I believe, called a state of emergency.
Yeah, Murphy, he was pretty decent
about
it.
The way that they would with the snowstorm, it's basically the same thing. Like, I haven't seen them firsthand, so to me, it's still not really a major thing, but like,
they're all
over,
I'm starting
to get texts about it, and it drops in the town that we live in.
They're all over.
And well, what do you mean they're all over? How could this be legal, you idiots? How could you create something that would allow drones to fly through this airspace?
Well, because
that's stupid.
Because our air defense, I don't want to go down this lane, but our air defense is 10, 12, 15 years too antiquated. So as the developments in technology
right,
with other countries, if this is indeed, and some people think it could be, an adversary, could it be China? Could it be Russia? I mean, there's a lot of stuff at play
this was a problem years in the making, is my point.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool, look at the drones.
Oh, yeah, look at the pictures. Take a picture, sure. Yeah,
look at your backyard and this and that. Yeah. No.
No, you're spying on me.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be allowed. I don't want cameras.
Or not even they are spying. Who the hell knows what...
I don't even want cameras in my yard for security, because when I'm hanging out by the fire pit talking about my wife, she can go back and listen. Nah, just kidding.
That's a good point. Those
but you know, like, these drones are out of hand. Somebody wake up and somebody do something.
Terrence is calling from Weehawken in New Jersey. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, Terrence.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Yo.
I met BT at between the 15th and 16th hole in this club, and he's great. He's like, what are you, Jet, giant guy? And I was like, I'm a Jet guy, but I'd like to see how DeVito does. And I'm just real happy to put him in again.
I remember bumping into you, man. I actually did. I was on the back nine at a course that's no longer there, unfortunately.
No.
Oops,
I think you were your brother. A couple of big, they looked like offensive. The guy's walking at me like an offensive lineman. I'm like, this guy got a problem with me? Like, he was like walking very fast. I'm like, having a rough day, you know? And then he turned out to be a huge fan, listener, loves the show, big fan. He wanted to talk a little DeVito, and I was breaking his chops because he's a Jets guy.
What did he say about me?
He didn't bring you up.
Oh, okay.
He didn't bring you up. Yeah. He brought up me and Francesa.
I'm happy DeVito is starting. As I said, I was listening to Phil with Boomer and Geo this morning driving in, thinking about, like, what are we doing here with Drew Locke? Like, Drew Locke, he's horrible. Not that DeVito's going to be much better, but I want to at
he's
least
our
see.
Horrible.
I want to see what he could do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you totally. Now, it's not like DeVito's 21. DeVito's, you know, because his path to the NFL was not direct, as we know. So, you know, he's not that much younger than Drew Locke. I love the story. I know exactly where Cedar Grove is. I play a lot of sports there. I coach there a lot. I love it. It's a great town. I'm not rooting for him just because he's from Cedar Grove, but if it's kind of close, give me the kid from Cedar Grove.
When we reconvene tomorrow, will the Yankees have a first baseman and or new outfielder?
They will not have Tucker by today. I believe they will have either Walker, and if Walker goes to the Nationals, they will very quickly pivot to Bellinger to deal.
Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove Hoff as well. Special thanks to Mike.
Big Mike
Francesa coming on with us. What a pleasure that was to have him on. Check it out on the free Odyssey app. Evan and Tiki there coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.